All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to focus on verses 15 through 17 today. 1 John chapter 2. Now, I kind of want to remind you that what we're talking about with this series, we're talking about, you know, that we live in this world of darkness that is around us. The darkness is because of the world system and because it is dominated by the god of this world, which is Satan. And so here we are as believers, children of the light. We want to walk in the light. So John, in this letter, is writing us, telling us about how to walk in the light. And so he's addressed a lot of different issues so far. He's addressed the whole issue of the reality of Jesus, the main thing. He's addressed the issue of our sin and the approaches to our sin. He encourages us not to sin, but if we do sin, we have an advocate. We have somebody who comes alongside of us to help us. That's Jesus Christ, who paid the price. He's the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied God's wrath. Then he talks about if you're walking in the light, you're going to do as he said. You're going to keep his commandments. And he really emphasized that whole issue of loving other people. And that if you hate someone, then maybe the truth is not in you. And then last week we saw again, he just wants to encourage us. He gave us some foundational truths for us to think about and to rest in. That you know God the Father, you know He who was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, the Eternal One, that we have overcome the enemy. The Word of God abides in you. So now when we get to verses 15 through 17, he's going to talk about something which, by the way, as I was studying it this week, I thought, this is a hard one. He's going to tell us something that we need to do that, I'll just be honest with you, on the surface, we'll say, yeah, that sounds good, George. But where the rubber meets the road, it's just going to be flat out hard. Because what he's going to tell us is not to get attached. You ever get attached to someone or something? Do you know what I mean? Do you ever get attached to something? And then that something that you get attached to becomes really important. And that's part of our lives. That's part of our relationships. You should be attached to your spouse, right? Okay? And sometimes we get attached to things or like we're getting ready to go into hunting season. Some of you get attached to your hobbies or even just being out in the wild. You get attached to places and so forth. And then when you come along and you hear what John is telling us to do here, we kind of have a hard time with it. Well, let's look at what John says, okay? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to notice with me verse 15 through 17. Here's what he writes. And then you're going to know why I say this is hard, okay? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So folks, what we're going to talk about is holding on loosely. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to hold on loosely to this world, to the things of this world. And immediately, I've already got people like, what? I don't know if I agree with that, George. What about my dreams? What about my plans? What about what I'm supposed to accomplish? And I even feel like God's guiding me in a way, and you're telling me to hold on loosely? Yes. Yeah, I'm telling you to hold on loosely. Because there's a sure way to find out if you're not holding on loosely is look at your reaction when somebody or something happens with whatever you're attached to, with whatever your vision is of whatever you're attached to. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it could be concepts of things. Like what, you know what I'm saying? You can get, like, I love the house that we live in, you know what I'm saying? And we have ideas about what we want to do, but we got to hold on loosely to our house. But then you know whether or not you're really holding on and you're attached to it is when you get irritated with something. Because it affects your plans. Or, let's be honest, we live in a country, a great country, but we can get so attached to our country, no matter what the course of culture does, that we get really worked up about it. That shows that we're really attached and not holding on loosely. Because nobody promised you anything. Nobody promised us anything, whether it's with regards to my house, with our marriages, with our jobs, with our nation, even with our world. And this really is tough that he's going to talk about here, because our attachments reveal our spiritual loyalty. So let's look at it together, okay? So we're just going to look at it here. We're going to see two things. We're going to see, first of all, the command in verse 15. Then we're going to see what the world has to offer. That's verse 16. And then when we get to verse 17, we're going to see the reality that we tend to forget. Okay? So let's talk about the command, all right? So look with me at verse 15 again. Here's what he writes. Do not love the world or the things in the world. So here's what it is. You must not grow attached and love this present world system and its stuff. Don't get attached. Don't love the way things are. Enjoy it, but don't get attached. Not even, and he talks about two things, the world. When he talks about the world, John is talking about the way the world operates, the world system, which is dominated by who? Satan. And by ungodliness. But not just that. So you're like, oh yeah, I can agree with that one, George. I'm not going to agree with the world system unless it's Jesus. I agree. Yeah, but notice what he said, and the things in it. That one we got a hard time with. That one is the struggle. So it's okay to say, I'm not going to get attached to the world system, but how about its stuff? And yeah, we do get attached to our stuff, don't we? We do. So you must not grow attached and love this present world system and its stuff. Here's why. Here's the second one. Loving this world and its stuff reveals your spiritual loyalty. Here's how John says it. Verse 15. He says this: do not love the world or anything or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you are attached, if your focus in life is stuff and the world system, and that's what you're consumed with, he's saying there is a big problem, because your loyalty isn't to the one you should be directing your attention to. Who's that? God. Because you're attached to this world and this system and what's going on. I'll give you a personal example, okay? Sometimes, I have to go away, and sometimes when I go away, I am without news. And I've confessed to you before that I'm a news junkie, okay? I love news. In fact, you know, when we pastored in Canada, at that time when we pastored in Canada, they had no Christian radio stations, okay? Think about it, a country with no Christian radio. They had no Christian radio stations. So what was I going to listen to all day? So I listened to the all-day news channel, okay? And I had 680 News coming out of Toronto, and I was listening to it all day. I learned that news they kind of cycle through the same news all day, okay? But that's what I listen to. So I like news. I love news. I like to know what's going on. But sometimes I go away, and so I don't have a device. There's no way for me to get news or whatever. And I've realized real quickly what my love was Because rather than loving God in those quiet times, I realized that I loved this world and the knowledge of what was going on. I was consumed with it. Yeah, yeah. You realize real quick what you're consumed with when you go without it. And I would dare say for a lot of us, including myself, it's not Jesus that we're missing. But what I've learned now, okay, so what I've learned now is in my own life, just as George personally, I've learned that I've got to make him the foremost thing in my life. Not when I get up in the morning and get ready to go to the Y, check it out what the news is. But maybe opening my Bible app and reading God's Word and praying. Because that's more important to me. In fact, I've realized that started to change because I had this feeling the other day that happened to me. And I was like, I can't believe I'm feeling this way. I feel giddy. I ordered a new Bible. Okay, because I had a Bible in my office that I've been using for a few years now. And I noticed that the letters just keep getting smaller. I don't know what it is about that book, but it just seemed like the letters just keep getting smaller. Maybe there's something with that book. And so I realized I'm straining, even with my bifocals, to read the text. So I ordered me a new Bible. And it came in the mail. And I got it. And I opened it up. And you know what? I felt giddy. Like something. You're weird, George. No, I'm telling you. I felt giddy. Why? Because I felt like, okay, God, speak to me. I just want to hear your voice. You know, I don't hear God's voice through the news. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the news that I go to be an encouragement to somebody. Actually, can I be honest with you? It's the news you go to that's discouraging to everybody else, right? You know what I'm saying? So loving this world and its stuff reveals your loyalty. You really want to know where you're at as far as your relationship with God? It's not that you got saved or you got baptized or whatever. It's where's your heart right now and where's God in the midst of it and what do you truly love? And I would say the sad thing for a lot of us is our love is screwed up. It's not God that we're loving. It's stuff. Stuff. In fact, he goes on and he points that out in verse 16. He talks about the offerings of the world. Here it is. He kind of breaks it down into three areas here. He says, and all that is in the world. So it's like, okay, I'm going to tell you what's in the world. I'm going to tell you what, if we look at the world, here's what it's based on, okay? All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. All right, so here's the three things, okay? We're going to take them one by one, all right? One by one. And I think it's interesting. Three things. If you want to see a correlation, go to the temptations of Christ. Remember the temptations of Christ? We'll kind of talk about them as we go along here, okay? Here's the first one. The world and its stuff appeal to the cravings of your bodies. They appeal to the cravings of your bodies. Have you ever seen a disgusting commercial for candy? Like when you see that commercial, you're like, yeah, I'll never buy that. I can't believe they even put that on there. No. When you see a candy commercial, it's meant to do one thing. Appeal to your what? Desires, right? Have you noticed that the supermarkets and all the convenience stores and everywhere know that? Because just go and try and check out. Even in the self-checkout center. You are surrounded with the greatest sweets ever made and the greatest drinks to be drunk. Appealing to what? Your bodies. Your flesh. That's what this world offers. This world offers not just food to satisfy the cravings of our bodies, but how about the lusts of our flesh? Everything is out there that the world has to offer is to satisfy something within us. That's what the world has to offer. Here's the second thing what the world has to offer. The world and its stuff appeal to the desires of your eyes to have. So it isn't just to the cravings of my flesh. It's what I see that I want. Do you know what I'm saying? It's what I see that I want. So, you know, for me, I wrestle sometimes because I drive around town and I see a certain vehicle that I like. And then I notice that I'm seeing a lot more of those vehicles that I like. And I'm thinking in my mind, boy, that must be a popular vehicle right now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's driving it. Except me. And so my eyes are searching them out. Have you ever driven along the road and all of a sudden you know that all your eyes are looking for are what color of truck? Do you know what I'm saying? That's just the reality. The world and its stuff appeals to our eyes. Do you understand? Appeals to our eyes. We know that. You know? Not just the cravings of our flesh, but our eyes. Here's the third one. The world and its stuff appeal to your pride. Appeals to your pride. Your ego. Your sense of self-worth. Status. Money. So forth. All of that stuff. That's what the world has to offer. And I'll be honest with you. Here's the ultimate thing that you and I need to realize. Well, first of all, can I be honest with you? Those are the same things Jesus faced, right? I told you I would mention this. Satan, if you're hungry, if you're God, if you could turn stones into bread, do it. Here, throw yourself on the pinnacle of the temple and let everybody see. Status, right? Hey, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Yeah, all of these sins right there. This is what the world has to offer. The world has to offer you all that stuff. Can I be honest with you? The problem is, I think we should know this by now. So I buy that candy bar. How long does it satisfy me? I barely make it out of the door of Walmart. Do you understand? It doesn't. So I get that new truck. How long am I satisfied? Till the first ding at the parking lot at Walmart? Or the first flat tire? Or the first auto repair? Or the first deer damage? Or the first rock? Get ready, winter's coming. Stuff's going to fly up on our windshields, right? It's all temporary. So, and this is the point that John brings out here with the fourth point in this section. The Lord is not the source of those things that entice you. So you think about those things. The stuff that appeals to the lust of our flesh, to our flesh. The stuff that appeals to our eyes. The things that appeal to our pride. God's not the source of those things. He's not. Look at what it says there in verse 16. Is not from the Father, but is from the world. All that stuff isn't from the Father. Because he knows what it'll do to us. He's the loving parent that keeps that stuff from you. Because he knows what it'll do to us. So I remember, when our kids were little. When we would go out to eat somewhere and somebody wanted to offer one of our kids a soda pop. Especially if it was Mountain Dew. No way! No! Okay. And our kids knew that they couldn't have those things or they couldn't have certain utensils. I remember Foster when he came to a table and he saw, I got a knife! I got it. Like he knew he wasn't supposed to have it. Do you know what I'm saying? Why? Because the parents were protecting them. God is saying, you don't need these things. You need me. I'm the one who brings you satisfaction. Because God doesn't introduce those things. In fact, that's the point James makes. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And when desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Don't like this, don't love this world. It's full with booby traps. Don't hold on to this world. So then that brings us to the reality. Now, why is he telling us this? Because he's got to remind us of something. And that's what we see in verse 17. And there's 2 points here, but let me read you the verse so that you understand the reality, okay? And the world is passing away along with its desires. And whoever does the will of God abides forever. Two things here. Number one, this present world and its stuff will pass away. It'll pass away. You know, I was you know, sometimes with some of the apps now, you can, I think with Google, you can go places and look at things. And one day I was, thought, I want to go back to the house I grew up in Columbia, Northeast Richland County. And so I typed in the address and boom, there it was. There was the house, and I saw the bushes that I helped my dad plant, and they're bigger than whatever now because nobody's trimming them. You know what I'm saying? And I saw a retaining wall that I helped put in, and we were proud of that retaining wall. And when we put it in, and it was just nothing but a mess now. And the house is falling apart. And I thought, man, yeah, I remember having to help paint that. Well, it looked like it hadn't been painted since I left there. You know what I'm saying? So that's been 30-some years. And the reality is that, boy, somebody's taking. But it just made me realize, stuff falls apart. All the great stuff that we achieve falls apart. It crumbles. All the concrete we put up falls apart, right? We have to constantly maintain it. Why? Because this world is passing away. This is the reality. God is coming to us through his apostle here, and he's telling us, don't love this world and don't love the stuff of this world because it's going to pass away. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. All the achievements will disappear. Years ago, I remember at graduation from Liberty, the special speaker was James Dobson, and he talked about, you know, when he was in college, he had some trophies from playing tennis for his college. And somebody got a hold of him and told him, hey, I got your trophies. I found them in the dumpster behind the athletic center. They had to make room for the new trophies, and they threw your tennis ones out. I got them for you here. And he said, life will trash your trophies. That's life. Here's what John writes in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. Look, don't hold on to this place. It's going to be gone. So why sink our loyalty into it? So that brings up the second point here. Those who are obedient to the Lord will live with him, will live forever with him. Here's what he says, verse 17. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's really what it's about, isn't it? It's about what lasts forever is the Lord and that relationship with him. Because everything else is just material. It's going to be gone. So, okay, so in the last year, we had to replace the roof on this building. And the reason why is because the shingles that they put on 30 years before had reached their limit. So put a new roof on. Now, 30 years from now, I won't be here, but 30 years from now, some of you might still be here. Guess what? We're going to have to replace that again. If the building is even standing. That's life. But there's something more out there for us to put our loyalty in, not in stuff that's temporary. But in stuff and one who is forever, the Lord. And if we do what he tells us to do, we'll be with him forever. That's the reality. Because all our best laid plans, they're gone. I mean, I was just reminded, someone said, how long have you had that car, Dad? I was talking to one of my kids, and I thought, it's been 2 years. 2 years, yeah, but I know it's 2 years because it was 2 years ago we bought that car and we said, okay, we're going to have the Mitsubishi now. And the next day I'm sitting in my house and Lori and Madison go down to our family down in Indiana County and they're coming back. They're driving through Punxsie and Maddie calls and says, Dad, Mom hit a deer. That's funny, Maddie. I thought they were joking with me. No, they hit it and they totaled it. We just bought a new one the day before. Thankfully, they didn't total that one, but now we got to make new plans. Now, so the stuff that you hold on to disappears. You know that. But I know one who doesn't disappear. That's where our loyalty needs to be. So go back to the command. Here's what he says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Where's your love? Don't answer it right now, but think about it. Where's your love? That'll reveal things to you. Let me pray for you.